Our guest, the returning champ, terrific player as a safety at Washington, three-time All-Pac-10 academic, multiple coaching stops, including the boss at Portland State, DB coach at Oregon State, now one of the ace analysts for the Pac-12 Network. On Twitter, use the handle at Coach N. Burton. Nigel Burton, always appreciate your time. How's life treating you?
What's up, Steve? I'm good, man. I'm running ragged, got my hand in like 18 different projects right now, and got coaching high school football, my son's team. We got a game tonight at Jesuit High School, and I think my dog is talking to the dog next door. So it's there's a lot going on here at the house.
I involve myself in many, many dog conversations, as we have on both sides of the fence. Two dogs there, our two dogs, and the other two. So it's good to know you talk doggy too, Coach. That's awesome. making the conference tour kind of week to week, you're visiting all these venues. You're there with Coach Aliotti and, of course, our hostess with the mostest, Ashley. After last year, where I felt like we were just getting through, how about getting back out there with the fans and the stadium feel? How cool has it been? Because it looks like you all are having a blast.
Oh man, it's been amazing, and we've had some places too where the atmospheres are just wild. I mean, we were at Utah when Washington State and Utah went at it, and Washington State probably controlled 55 minutes of that game, and then Utah at the very end with two huge plays, including a pick six, and the place is just going bananas, and Coach Al's trying to run out there and high-five the kid after he scored. it was like, hey, Nick, you're not coaching anymore. Get out of here. And so, you know, and then last week we were at Oregon State when Oregon State made that furious comeback in the second half, and beat a really good Utah team that had been on fire. I mean, after beating Wazoo and going to the Coliseum and absolutely dismantling USC, and so it's been awesome. I mean, there's nothing like being on the field where we do our broadcasts and pre-games and halftimes and interacting with the fans. And, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, man. Energy is unbelievable.
You know, I want to start with Oregon State, and I know you'll be there for this one. When Jonathan Smith took it over, it was a train wreck. And, you know the program. They know that they're not going to land a bunch of 4- and 5-star high school recruits. Just, Coach, how he's built this, the player development, the use of the portal. I mean, fair to say, the Beavs are not just a great Pac-12 story, but nationally, for what he's done pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, no question, and I think nobody has taken advantage of the portal as well as Jonathan Smith has. I mean, there's the occasional guy here and there, but it's pretty rare. Oh, here comes my man! Now he wants to come hang out. nobody has gotten a number of players. I mean, you look at Avery Roberts is on his way to being an All-American who transferred in. Has made it linebacker. You got Trey Lowe who had a huge game and transferred from Washington. But they're still hitting the JC ranks as well as, Chance Nolan was the number one dual threat, quarterback coming out of junior college last year. And so Deshaun Fenwick, who's, one of their outstanding running backs as well. And so not only are they getting these guys, Tyjon Lindsey, I mean, keep going down the list, but they're getting guys who are impact players too. They're not swinging and missing on many of them. And so that's really where I got to commend, Jonathan and his staff for what they've been able to pull off and getting the right guys who come in and still buy into team. They're not just there trying to just get theirs, go to the league and take off. They really have bought into team.
Certain franchises in the pros, programs in college, it seems like they succeed when they do what has worked. And with it, Oregon State, it's run the football. I mean, their line coach, Jim Mihalchek, is one of the best in the country. B.J. Baylor stepping in. I mean, just establishing that identity, just how critical has that been to just see what they're doing this year?
Yeah, I would say it's been everything, but I'm not sure that's true because they've been able to run the ball even when they weren't winning football games, right? I mean, go to Jamar Jefferson. I mean, keep going back. You know, when they were struggling, they still were able to run the ball. The one thing they didn't have was playmakers outside. I mean, I go through the years of Jake Luton, who's in the NFL, Isaiah Hodgins, who's in the NFL, Jamar Jefferson, who's in the NFL. They had all those guys at the same time. The problem was they only really had Isaiah Hodgins. And so you could rotate coverage to that guy. You could still pack the box, double him, and Oregon State had problems. Now they have three running backs who can beat you, including Trey Lowe, who is a former wide receiver, can catch the ball out of the backfield. And they've got four, five, six wide receivers that can hit you in different ways. And then they can go too deep at tight end. And so they've got so many weapons that you can't really just do one thing and feel good about, you know, your prospects for shutting down this offense. And even if you can figure out how to, you know, cover Tegan Quatoriano and Tyshawn Lindsey and Anthony Gould, who's a track guy, and it just go down a list of all their different receivers, and then somehow you manage to stuff the running game, they have one of the most athletic quarterbacks who can just take off and run on you. So, I mean, it's just they've created a problem for Pac-12 defenses, and that's why they're leading the league in scoring.
All right, you sold me. Talking with Nigel Burton of the Pac-12 Network. Cal's had a rough year, disappointing, but they've lost some really gut-punch games. I mean, on the road, TCU, Oregon, Washington. But they've got an experienced quarterback. They've been in every game but one down to the wire. So what are you seeing from the Bears that makes them, you know, kind of a dangerous underdog or opponent the rest of the way?
Yeah, well, one, they're playing at home. Two, they've still got a defense that plays like somebody owes them money. So, I mean, those two things alone are a problem. And then, just like you said, you know, you have an experienced quarterback in Chase Garbers. They have weapons still outside. They've just been really inconsistent offensively. That's been the part that's just been, you know, really frustrating, I think, for Bears fans, is they've had moments where they looked really good offensively, and then they've had moments where you're just like, wait, what is happening? Out of sync is kind of putting it kindly. And then defensively, it's been a little bit of the same. I mean, they're much more consistent defensively. You know, they don't make a ton of mistakes. They don't do a ton defensively. But they haven't been the power that they've been the last two or three years. I mean, if you scored 17 or more against Cal the last two or three years, like you must have played a really, really good offensive game. And they're not exactly doing that. You know, they struggled to tackle earlier in the season, but they seem to have shored some of that stuff up. So, you know, you got Elijah Hicks, you got a bunch of guys that are back. And so, you know, they've still got dudes that you're going to watch playing on Sundays. So they're always dangerous.
Yeah, Cameron Good's pretty good. Oregon, I want to move to the Ducks off that big win at UCLA. Three straight games that have just come down to a defensive stand, twice successful. And I know their rep is kind of the explosive offense, all the flash, but coach, this defense, Thibodeau, Noah Sewell, now healthy. How much do you like Tim DeRuiter's D and their potential as they've healed up to really be a major influencer the rest of the way?
Yeah, especially when you consider this is a new defense with still some younger guys running around there, you know, and so it's the kind of unit that's just going to continue to get better. And look, you know, DeRuiter's defense in the 3-4, there's so much nuance to it, right? I mean, you can bring pressure from all these different angles, and you can do all these things that are very intricate. And so it takes time to have the guys feel comfortable. But they got some guys, I mean, and you mentioned two of the war daddies and you know, Noah Sewell and obviously Kayvon Thibodeau is the best player in America, hands down. We had a conversation about, you know, will he win? You know, does he have a chance to win Heisman? I'm like, no, because the Heisman's an irrelevant award. It's not really it doesn't go to the best player in America. It goes to one of the best quarterbacks or wide receivers on one of the best teams. That's the name of the award now. And so, but if it really was for the best player, yeah, it'd be him. That's why he'll probably be the number one overall pick. But then you got Verone McKinley, and you got, you know, you got all these different guys. I mean, they got corners that look, they're 6'3", 6'4" running around out there. I don't know why I'm spacing on number 11's name. But anyway, I mean, they just got all these different guys that create all kinds of problems for you. And once again, as they get more and more comfortable with not just, you know, here's what my assignment is, but, you know, I don't have to think about my assignment anymore. We used to call it unconscious competence when you know exactly what to do and you don't have to think about it anymore. You know, it's similar to, you know, I'd say to your listeners who, you know, when you learn to drive a stick shift, and you had to first think about, you know, gas and then coming off the gas and pushing in the clutch and then shifting and then, you know, coming off the clutch and increasing the gas. And you had to think through that process, and you stalled out a few times and things like that. And after a while, you had it down so much you didn't even think about it anymore. Your body just was moving, and that's what these guys are going through, right? They're trying to learn a new system, do different things, be able to get to that unconscious competent level where they're just playing ball and they're not thinking about, okay, where am I supposed to be on this? And okay, now there's this motion. Oh, wait, yeah, we got to do this. Similar to driving that, you know, that car with the stick, you know. But, and so that's where they're getting to.
But the guy you were thinking of, Triquez Bridges, who's 6'3". There
you go.
Yeah, he's long. By the way, that is such the coach in you. A lot of times when we talk with the coaches, they might not know everybody's name, but they know 11, they know 17.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I could claim that it's because I got to follow the whole Pac-12, so there's just a bunch of names. Yeah. But that's not true. It's just I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, you got dogs going on. You got high school games. Come on, there's a lot on your plate.
My daughter just walked in the door. Yeah, there's a lot going on here, but it's good. I love it.
It's awesome. So a last thought on Oregon. I was really ticked off when the fans were booing their quarterback, Anthony Brown, in a game that he rallied the team and won. It just comes off as entitled. And yeah, we know he's not Marcus or Justin Herbert, and he has made some questionable decisions. But overall, they're 6-1. He had a big game last week at UCLA. When you watch him, what do you like about what he brings to the table running Coach Moorhead's offense?
You know, the best part is he doesn't let that stuff get to him, I don't think.
Absolutely.
You know, I think when he's sitting alone in his room, it probably bugs him. But when he's in the heat of the game, it doesn't seem to faze him. And, you know, for Oregon fans who, you know, complain about him, I hate to break it to you, but you guys would be 4-3 if you didn't have him. because he single-handedly won at that last drive at Fresno State. Nobody's open. And he went through every single read, and he just took off. And without that will to win, and then, you know, you go down to the Cal game. And matter of fact, I might be 4-3, might be kind, because I don't think you beat Cal. I don't think you beat Fresno State, and you don't beat UCLA. Because it's not just the fact that, you know, his the way that he processes information from a quarterback standpoint, but he also is one of those guys who just has a will to win. You know, and what that does to your whole team. The guy who's willing to lay out, dive for the pylon with somebody hitting him at the same time at this level, and people just don't know, man. That stuff hurts, and it's making a play when you know it's going to hurt. You know it's going to hurt, and you do it anyway. And what that does to the rest of your team and how hard they're willing to play when they know that the guy who takes a snap and gets all the, you know, the press stuff, and then, you know, the girls want to talk to him first, that he's willing to do that stuff, that he's willing to sacrifice himself too, well, then I got to play hard too, because if he's willing to do it, I got to be able to do it too.
Oh, yeah. No, his guys have his back, no question. A couple final thoughts for Nigel Burton of the Pac-12 Network. The Huskies, of course, had that horrible start with the loss to Montana. They had a chance to tie UCLA late. Dylan Morris threw that pick. The way they lost the OSU game, got a scare at Arizona, be it inconsistency from the quarterback or running the ball. What are you seeing? Why are they struggling so much to put up points?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there were three touchdowns. I was at the UCLA game. There were three touchdowns, and I mean wide open touchdowns that Dylan Morris just missed inexplicably. You know, it's a you know, inexplicably, I guess, as I just stumbled through trying to rephrase. But anyway, multiple throws that were just kind of head scratchers, not understanding, because we've seen him make those throws. And, underthrew a post route that was a touchdown, underthrew a fade, it ended up getting picked. And then the offensive line right now, I think, is probably the biggest disappointment. And, everybody's pointing the finger at, this guy or the quarterback and the head coach. But the reality is, offensive line-wise, they haven't protected Dylan Morris the way that you would think a group with that kind of experience, and they have not been able to run the football at all. And then losing Richard Newton for the year, they lost Olofosio now. It's an uphill battle for the Huskies right now.
Folks, he's Nigel Burton. He's got to deal with a daughter, a high school football game, doggies. Oh, by the way, he'll be working the Pac-12 this weekend for Cal and Oregon State. On Twitter, use the handle at Coach N. Burton. Coach, what you guys do is always entertaining, informative. Love watching you on the network. We always appreciate you finding some time to share your thoughts and insights. You and your family be well. You travel safe. And as always, look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime, buddy.
All right. Have a good one.